We got new boots, and I'm so thrilled. They're Tecovas boots. And you know why I'm so excited about getting Tecovas boots and why I was so happy to get mine in the mail? Because the girlies from Potomac went to the Tecovas store in the most recent season of Real Housewives of Potomac, and I was like, if Robin and Karen have Tecovas, I want Tecovas.
Well, I have a good reason, too, because I've been doing a bunch of line dancing, and I didn't have any cowboy boots, and so I got my Tecovas, and let me tell you, the difference it makes to be dancing in cowboy boots... Huge.
On the line dancing floor. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. So you can really smack the floor and swing around. You need cowboy boots.
Yeah, I didn't get cowboy boots. I got Chelsea boots, but they're great. They're brown.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to see them.
They're just, I like taking them on and off. They're so lovely. They're kind of a beautiful leather. They're beautiful leather.
Well, they're bringing a fresh perspective to heritage bootmaking. They've carried forward all the time-honored traditions and quality you find in a great pair of cowboy boots, but they've innovated on comfort, style, and service. It's true because cowboy boots can be a little bit hard to break in.
Yep.
You know? Yep. Mine, I was swinging around, no pain.
No pain. And Tecovas is Western to their core. They offer a bunch of other head-to-toe Western staples like trucker jackets, the perfect jeans, performance pearl snaps, cowboy hats, bandanas, you name it. They'll get you outfitted. They believe in Western for all. And you can feel that when you go into their stores. When you walk in, you'll be greeted like family. I saw them do it to the girlies from the Real Housewives of Potomac. It seemed like they were being greeted like family. You'll be offered a boot shine and a drink. Yes, even the hard stuff if you prefer. And you can get custom fitted for a new pair of boots. But if you can't make it into a store, Tecovas delivers the most premium quality and the most comfortable Western goods right to your door. Visit Tecovas.com, that's Tecovas.com, and point your toes west.
You or Jayla? Yeah, 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 they wanna know.
To be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber. And it's July 5th, aka yesterday was July 4th. I hope your holiday was fantastic. I think my holiday was fantastic too. You know why?
Because you ate hot dogs?
No.
You had dip?
Well, I mean, I definitely did those things. But we also are running
a rerun.
Woo! But not quite a rerun.
Well, it's an edited. It's a niche artisanal rerun.
It is artisanal. I worked really hard on this one. I think it's really good.
You worked really hard on it, but you didn't work on it the night before the way that we do our podcast, which is we do all the work the days before. You had time to space out this work.
Well, I'm really excited because people said, we love the sign-offs episode, but you missed some of the sign-offs. And I was like, babe, I know there's a part two.
In case you're new to the show and thinking, you know, what the hell is up with Gaga Guggy? You already know the answer to
you're
that.
You're going to get Munchkins, Bunchkins. You're going to get Tits Out Cassiopeia. You're going to get Tim Tebow Lesbian. You can't even stand that I'm saying these things. You're going to get Chocolate is Salad. You're going to get Laptop. What's Laptop again?
Live in La Vida Laptop.
You're going to get The Cup of Life. You're going to get that one. And you're going to get that MacBook.
The Cup of Life. You got them all already. So we hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you for listening. Happy holiday,
happy
I guess. And
holiday.
Enjoy this episode, please.
Have a good day at work, Olivia Wilde.
Have a good day at work, Olivia Wilde.
Have a good day at work, Olivia Wilde.
I want to talk about my favorite story of the week. Can we move to it?
Yes.
I love the story because it has a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Once again, this bitch is in the news, and I don't mean Olivia Munn. It's a dog.
It's always funny to use bitch when you actually mean a female dog.
Oh, it's
That's
the best
so great.
Joke in the book. That's the book of jokes that I bought for this podcast.
No joke is better. So Olivia Munn. Olivia Munn dispatched. Listen to this like word. This is how I was first revealed to this story. This page six headline. Olivia Munn dispatched by dog walking app WAG after alleged dog napping. So it's sort of like, I have so many questions. One is like, what is WAG? Why is Olivia Munn involved? Did Olivia Munn do the dog napping?
Is
it her dog that was
insane.
Napped?
Insane. Like grammar is shook, you know? Like
Olivia Munn dispatched by dog walking app WAG after alleged dog napping.
10 New Yorker copy editors just got like shivers down their spines hearing you read that. Are there 10? Yikes, that might be overestimating. They have some.
So the long story short, WAG is this app that Olivia Munn is sort of creatively involved in. She is the quote creative strategist, which is sort of a vanity title. I think she was an investor too. So she has like stake in this app WAG. What WAG does, it's an app on your phone for people who need dog walkers. And it comes with, whenever you sign up for it, you get this special lockbox to put on your front door. And only WAG people, WAG dog walkers, have access to this key. And so when you need a dog walker, they just send someone who has WAG accreditation. And they show up to your house, they use the WAG code, they pull out the key, they walk your dog, they put it back. So someone in Battery Park, this neighborhood in New York, used WAG. Someone came to walk their cute little dog and they ran off with it. They know this because there's like only WAG people have access to the lockbox. Also, they have security cameras in their building and they saw the WAG dog walker grab the dog and run out the door. Okay. So when they came home and realized that their dog was missing, of course they're distraught. They contact WAG. And what does WAG do? WAG connects them to none other than creative strategist Olivia Munn, and they were on the phone with her from 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. Imagine that, being on the phone with Olivia Munn from 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. talking about your lost dog instead of with the police.
It's just crazy to me that they just like connected her to Olivia Munn. But actually, what I think I read a little bit deeper into this, and I think it's a little bit different than what we thought at the show. I think the people wrote about it on Instagram and Olivia Munn like found it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, so they complained.
So basically what I think happened, let me show you where I found this information. Oh, here. So they say their investigation didn't kick into high gear until they tagged Munn, an investor with the company. So these smarties actually were like, oh, our dog is lost. Olivia Munn, like, come like fucking tell us what to do about this. You love WAG? So they tagged her and she called them. So she calls them and they're like, oh, I guess we got what we wanted, but like we didn't want this. Like then they have to be on the phone with Olivia Munn for hours, right?
Hours, literally 2 hours. They said 2 hours.
At 4 a.m. Then they finally call the cops and the cops get the footage and get the dog back.
Fortunately, like this guy was who did the robbing is an idiot. And he like didn't realize that number one, there was a camera in there. Number two, not many people have access to the WAG lockbox and they have his fucking name because he was a WAG walker. Like it was the guy they suspected it being. They went to his house. They got the dog back, reunited. NYPD took a nice little photo of them reunited with the dog. But the next funniest thing about this is this commercial for WAG that Olivia Munn was in a couple years ago, because she joined WAG in what, 2015? She was like, I'm investing in WAG. I have a passion for like dogs and dog walking, because we know that's Olivia's thing. It's like shelter dogs and dog walking. She's pivoting to
WAG
that.
Is not a bad thing to invest in, but if no. I was like trying to not be the face of dogs getting murdered, then I wouldn't want to invest in something that could possibly. That's like being like, I know Uber is a good idea, but everyone involved in it is miserable and like, hey, you know what I mean? And that's, I don't really want to be associated with something that seems like it's going to be like cause more ill. This is
and
what
like,
WAG.
Take advantage of people who use it, of the workers.
Like, yeah. You really have to be choosing your financial gain over like what it might do to your reputation or emotional sanity, because you're basically responsible for this thing that like WAG that has strangers going into other people's houses.
Yeah, and I think dogs. that's a lot of the criticism with WAG that we've read.
I have a lot of friends who use it.
And who have dog walkers like are like, why would I use WAG? I want the same person that I can trust going
right.
into my
and
house.
Right, and WAG,
every day.
Which you would think like you have a dog walker through WAG, you could say like, can the same person just keep coming back? Like
you can't
I'll just
do it.
And I'll still go through the app. You can't do it. So
you can't do it. You just have to trust
problem.
That it's going to be a good person.
Or you
gotta that it's
find them on Instagram and hire them on the side, you know?
Though I will say, this isn't the worst possible news because it shows that, like, these people got caught pretty soon after they stole it.
Sure. But it shows that their vetting process is unreliable. There's someone just could just take the dog.
Yeah. There's an ad for WAG that we're gonna play a little part of here. It's really hard to deal with unless you can see it. But basically what's happening is Olivia Munn is in a house that she's, you know, making us assume it's hers, but it's the most like basic normal looking house that Olivia Munn would never step foot in, let alone live in. And she says goodbye to her golden retriever before going to work, which is like, excuse me, what is that? She's like, bye sweetie, going to work. And then she pets the dog and then she goes out the door and the dog is like alone and sad.
Yeah.
The funniest thing that I can possibly imagine in the whole entire world is a golden retriever, a loyal, beautiful golden retriever looking up at Olivia Munn and saying, have a good day at work, Olivia Wilde.
Fucking Jesus Christ. This joke of yours. How long?
Imagine
how long.
Imagine the dog getting Olivia Munn's name wrong. Please.
I just like the idea of her being like,
"Have a good day at work, Olivia Wilde."
Okay, like I'm going to work. Have a nice day. And the dog's like, "What's your job?" Like in its brain, it's like, "You have a job? Like, what's your job?" Not to
Who
be fair,
are
all
you?
Golden Retrievers are probably like, "What's your job?" But especially to Olivia Munn, like, "What's your job?"
Okay, be good, kiddo. I gotta go to work. I love you. Bye.
Have a good day at work, Olivia Wilde.
Turns out her job is like doggy detective.
Doggy detective, and it should be as we Photoshop posters at the show, but it would like, Olivia Munn doggy detective makes as much sense as most Hallmark original mysteries, so they should just do it. Olivia Munn, doggy detective, she finds lost dogs. Great. And it also promotes WAG. WAG would pay for the movies. It would be a great business idea.
Yeah. I mean, overall, this is actually good press for Olivia Munn. Who, like,
and WAG
is still recovering from the bad press she just got, you know?
I already sort of forgot about the bad press.
She called out, you know, she called out the bloggers.
Yeah, she was like, "You need to calm down."
Leanne Cuisine.
Crunch, crunch.
Leanne Cuisine. Bye-bye.
Okay, Leanne Cuisine, Tim Tebow, lesbian. Love you guys. Bye.
I would say crunch, crunch, but I kind of want to throw up. Leanne Cuisine.
Leanne Cuisine.
Crunch, crunch, Leanne Cuisine.
Hello, I just had to stop the podcast because someone was having the name blindness with Lee Drummond, also known as the Pioneer Woman, which made me remember that the other day when I was in the grocery store, I saw that she has a line of frozen food now, including something called Cowboy Quiche. So who are the who's and them's of frozen food? So we've got like Amy's. Leanne, or no, Lean Cuisine. That's not a okay, I can't think of any other frozen food. Bye-bye.
To hear somebody having fun in the supermarket is so heartening.
Leanne's is so who's in them's. I was looking at like
Leanne's.
There are a lot of I do think Leanne that all
cuisine.
Of these frozen I looked at the list of frozen food brands, which included not just frozen dinners as in like a
Leanne Cuisine, you
a
know
Leanne
who
a Leanne Cuisine or
you
whatever
know who, I think zoomed to the top of that list. Amy's
yeah.
Like woof. Those burritos
so I was
are
looking
everywhere.
I would call
Oneida?
A lot of these. I would call
Orida?
A lot of these. Orida, but Orida's like just frozen potatoes.
Stouffer's?
Like it's
Stouffer's? Stouffer's?
Stouffer's. Stouffer's lasagna. There's a Amy's, I would say, is a them. Banquet, I would maybe say is a who.
Who, that's a who.
Lean Cuisine. Leanne Cuisine
Leanne
is
cuisine.
Definitely a them.
Leanne Cuisine.
Kid Cuisine is definitely a them. Because those
what about
are
it's
iconic.
Not Deliveries to Zorno?
DiGiorno, I think.
What about Totino pizza rolls?
What about Freschetta? Is Freschetta also a them, or is it a who?
That. What about Hot Pockets?
Freschetta was the DiGiorno competitor that was like, no,
okay.
We're fancier.
That's a who. That's a who for sure.
Okay. Marie Callender's, I would say, is a them.
You have to. This question is. She knows the question is terrible. That's why it's so funny that we're even answering it. But you have to separate them by like food type. You can't really go like, what's the overall food? It's like, oh, for pizzas. Oh, for like chicken.
Well, I think she specifically means frozen dinners, like the whole thing in the tray. And so I think you got your Weight Watchers is definitely a them.
Well, then
and
Banquet and like Marie Callender's are like them's.
Yeah,
smart
Lean
ones.
Cuisine a them. Yeah, smart ones them.
What?
Amy's them. Kid Cuisine them. But I think a lot of these like Hungry Man Dinner, that's a them.
Hungry Man is a classic. I can't
all
get
these
over
that, like
Leanne
I've never heard
cuisine.
Of Michelina's. Leanne Cuisine.
Leanne Cuisine is so good. Okay.
She couldn't even keep going. Now, the real reason we played that call, not only because it's hysterical, is because it had this follow-up, and then after this we're gonna end the show.
Hey, Lindsay Bobby. So my sister left you a rather deranged voicemail about the who's and them's of the frozen food aisle. And I know this because she called me immediately afterwards. And I don't think I've ever heard her laugh so hard thinking about the who's and them's of frozen dinners. And so I just want to thank you for bringing some joy into this very dark time. Your podcast is kind of the only one I can listen to right now. So thank you. Thank you for making my sister in Chicago laugh so hard. I'm sending it to her sister in San Francisco. Bye.
I need to hear her say Leanne Cuisine one more time. Hold on.
Leanne. Or no, Lean Cuisine. That's not a...
I needed that laugh. Cause...
To go from I mean, it makes sense because she's going from Amy to Lean.
She's like, here's Susan, here's Jocelyn, here's Amy's, here's Leanne Cuisine. Honestly, just hearing somebody be joyful in a supermarket, it's like, I couldn't imagine. Couldn't be me.
I imagine watching this person, like, you're in your mask, you're 6 feet away, and you see this woman on her phone talking to the frozen.
Being like, Leanne.
Duncan's Munchkins.
Bye.
Hey, Lindsay and Bobby. This is Sarah, medium time. I just came across the fact that Giselle Boonchen, actually, first of all, how do you pronounce that? Second of all, Giselle has a twin sister named Patty. Who apparently serves as her manager and occasional publicity person, and this was news to me. Additionally, I told my friend this, and he replied with, who is Giselle Boonchen? So I think I just need some help breaking this down, both about Giselle and Patty. All right. ScarJo yummy, pop by.
This, what's really funny about this is that it reads like one of those good, bad SNL skits from way back where they have like this is Sarah, and I'm her crazy twin. Like, one of those things where it's like an unexpected twin situation.
Yeah, like that. It's that Junice thing, yes. With like Vanessa, Kristen Wiig.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking.
All the like beautiful, yes. Like Lawrence Welk models, and then Junice with the tiny hands.
But I guess this is implying that Patty is not an attractive person. She's like beautiful. Basically, like the entire Boonchen family, all six Boonchen siblings, are more beautiful than anyone ever. And yet Giselle is so beautiful, which is why she's a supermodel, that it's almost like even more tragic that you have to be her sister, because normally you would just live a very a good life as a normally very beautiful person.
But even if Giselle Boonchen weren't the most
beautiful, you can just call her Giselle. She's
family,
earned to be beyond Boonchen.
The moment you are a supermodel, like, fuck the rest of your siblings. Like, they could all be equally beautiful. Objectively, they could be six identical twins. But if Giselle is a supermodel, it's like, fuck you, you know?
Yeah, like, it's just...
It immediately adjusts the perspective. It changes the game. And so, but it is really funny just the names, because Giselle is just such a, like, a glamorous sounding name. And then Patricia?
I know.
I was saying, like, an equivalent would be if... you had someone named Bartholomew, and then his twin brother is named like Bud or like Fred. Just like in terms of mouth feel.
Yes.
How Giselle sounds on the tongue.
Yes.
Is very different than Patty.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Hi, this is my sister, Patty. And then Patty's always there with the clipboard and like an iPad and like, okay, Giselle, you got to go to dinner here. Here's your hot water with lemon.
I mean, there's also just kind of like a fascination, and I definitely went through this entire slideshow and was like, with celebrities who have twins, because it's like they either look exactly like them and you're like, oh, they should be an actor too. Like they're identical, or there's something slightly off that makes like one person a celebrity and why they look so kind of like celebrity and the other person just a normal person. Like you're an attractive normal person, you know.
But it's also just the fact, like, if they weren't celebrities you probably wouldn't notice it, but because one face is so famous and recognizable,
right.
It's weird to see a face where like there's like a little glitch, you know, where like one thing's off,
right? And it's not like an unattractive glitch, it's just like different, it feels like unfamiliar and different and wrong in some way because you're so programmed to see like Giselle.
It's not about actual beauty.
I mean,
it's
these
just
women
about
don't
familiarity.
Look, these are fraternal twins. They don't really look anything alike. Let's be real.
Yeah.
but
they don't. They look like sisters.
They look like sisters. But Giselle's like 9 feet tall, and her twin is like less tall.
This is from a 2009 Vanity Fair cover story called "Ellipsis and God Created Giselle."
Oh God.
So what you do when you go to this story is you do Control F, Command F, and you search for Patricia. And let's read all four instances. She and her fraternal twin, Patricia, were the middle daughters among six girls. Imagine that. All of whom are good looking. Imagine being the other four. No, thank you. Next instance of Patricia. Her twin describes her as bold and fearless. Also, imagine this lifestyle where you are the twin of a supermodel.
I know.
And
I already, half of your job gives me anxiety.
Half of your job is being asked about your beautiful twin.
Just thinking about it her gives twin, me anxiety.
It makes me want to throw up. Her twin describes her as bold and fearless. Quote, unlike me, Giselle was very talkative, and she wasn't afraid to be away from home and for some time, even when she was little, says Patricia. She was very brave, and she was always trying to protect her sisters. Something like, don't mess with my sisters or you'll have to deal with me.
Wait, what?
Which is like, why do you have to keep
who's feeding her
complimenting
these lines?
Your sister? And then her doesn't willpower made her successful, says Patricia. She has never let critics put her down, and this has never changed. She has the most amazing body, but what has really made her successful is her personality, by her way of doing things, her professionalism. What's really made her successful is everything. It just says Patricia is her manager. That's the last instance. Lindsay, I just realized something.
What?
Patricia's the one who buys the munchkins.
What do you mean? Wait. In the story, she buys the munchkins?
It's not in the story, but Patricia's definitely the one who's been to Duncan. Giselle has not.
Oh, and people are like, they think it's maybe Giselle.
Because they see the card. They're like, you kind of look like a Boonkin. And I read that story about Giselle liking munchkins.
Oh my God. So this Patricia. Entire time, Giselle's like, I go to Duncan, but it's been Patty.
I bet. I mean, we're speculating, but that's
I'm not speculating. I know in my heart.
That's definitely
I knew that Giselle
happened.
Had never been to Dunk.
God, imagine Giselle getting a box of munchkins and then having one bite of one and then being like, Patty, you can take these home.
Would your husband like these?
And Patty's like,
ugh. It is good, like, thinking of Patty as a character, a disgruntled sister servant character in Giselle's life.
Who is gorgeous.
Who's equally gorgeous, but just happens to be the sister of Giselle. It's just your
and
luck
also
in life,
spent,
man.
She spent her entire life doing this that she really can't do anything else, and it pays so well that she's like, I can't do another job.
And
whatever.
She loves the free munchkins.
Munchkins for Boonkin.
No, stop it. This is a bad joke.
Okay, next up, next call. Wait, is that the end?
Yes.
Oh God, maybe we're done. We're done?
I mean,
no, one more.
No, we're done, right?
Oh, we're done. Oh, we're great. Patricia's married. Patricia married someone.
she married
someone. What is the
story? She married.
Special day. The model's father, Valdir Boonkin, walks the bride, Patricia, down the aisle. And there's Patricia looking gorgeous.
She's beautiful. Yeah, she's married. Maybe they served munchkins at her wedding also. Brought by Giselle.
Brought by Patricia.
Munchkins for Munchkin. Okay, I hate this.
I'm imagining like the Duncan employees taking selfies with Patricia and then labeling it Giselle. Like, took another selfie with Giselle, my favorite customer today. And then Patricia just like.
She just like grits her teeth and goes with it. Okay. Let's
eat some munchkin.
Let's
end
this show.
Before we end, I'm sorry. I hate shing you, but I also like shing you. It's really funny that we are skipping. The last thing on the doc, it just says. Cat dipping.
Tits out, Cassiopeia.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. So, I've been noticing that in a lot of, like, the movies that I've been watching, every time, like, two people are looking at the sky, one of them always points out Cassiopeia. And I'm just sort of like, what is that? Why is that the only thing in the sky that writers point out for people? Like, what's the deal with that? Is Cassiopeia a them? What's going on? Also, like, who's and thems of constellations? Like, Orion's belt is them. The Big Dipper, them. But, like, what's happening? Help. Crunch, crunch.
I don't know why this is, but constellations have always bothered me because I just feel like we've aged out of them. Like, I understand them as, like, before we had technology, I understand why you need constellations to track what's happening in the sky, and you need to use like,
oh, here we go, this like controversial take, we don't need constellations anymore
to remember them. No, but like, I do also, I get
this,
I haven't
is
seen
problematic, you're gonna get canceled.
I haven't seen these movies that the caller is talking about where like, look, it's Cassiopeia. But immediately when the caller said that, I was triggered. Cassiopeia has always been really funny to me because I was like, okay, Orion, I get it, there's the belt, I see it, Big Dipper, I understand, like
Little Dipper,
but Cassiopeia is truly like a W, because you know, like, they're always in your books growing up, in your science books, they do the extension of like, here's what Orion looks like, and they like extend what
people say.
The
why?
Cassiopeia one is literally like one line, it's like a little W, and then they draw a whole lady around it, a sitting on a chair, and you're like, okay,
that's a stretch,
that is not there.
My issue is that when you open these star apps, which I love, you know, when you can see the stars when you're not in the city, you can see them and or the constellations, and all these constellations are also have like astrology names, so you've got like mm-hmm. your V, and so you've got these I just hate that. I hate that they're like these competing, it's like, what am I supposed to recognize it these as, you know? It's like, is it Taurus or is it fucking Orion? I know it's both, but
like, I'm sorry, look at this beautiful graphic that I found of constellations.
Are you gonna
it's
send
like
me this?
I'm texting it to you, but like,
I mean, you'd think when you look up the sky looks like this, but it doesn't.
But you look up and it's like Scorpio. Yeah, I get that. That looks like a Scorpio, and that looks like a stinger. Like Gemini. Oh yeah, there's the twins. I see you, sweetie. Like, I see, oh, Leo, that looks like a little animal. But Cassiopeia's literally a W.
Wait, did you
like,
text me the?
Oh, I didn't send you Cassiopeia. Let me send you Cassiopeia.
Cassiopeia.
Compare it to the ones above it that are like clearly objects. Like, I get it, very abstract objects. Cassiopeia is like, hi, this does not count. You can't draw a whole lady. Like, I could draw anything I wanted to around that W by your definition of what that thing is.
It's not even a fucking W. It's like a zigzag.
I implore you all to look up Cassiopeia constellations. Google it, because every artist's interpretation is like the most egregious artistic license, drawing a full lady around a W. A full lady sitting in a big ass chair. Usually holding something. I'm like, sometimes she's holding a feather, sometimes she's holding a palm, sometimes she's holding a mirror. How are you getting this?
Okay, well, you know what? I'm sorry, but we're just trying to learn what the stars are. And if you need to envision a lady, you got to envision a lady.
And this one, it's like, oh, this time Cassiopeia is topless, like tits out Cassiopeia.
Oh, okay. That's ridiculous.
Ugh. But anyway, Cassiopeia is a them, unfortunately.
Okay, wow. I didn't know you like had a vendetta against Cassiopeia. Like, okay, great. Bobby's least favorite constellation. Incredible. Also, it's like they're turning each one a separate. They're rotating it to fit their narrative.
They're doing a lot of projecting.
Watch like somebody call and they're like, the reason why it's a lady is because the star is the blah, 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 boo, boo, ba boo. I quit astronomy in high school because it was all math. No one told me I wanted to look at the pictures of Cassiopeia.
Cassiopeia.
Tim Tebow lesbian.
Crunch, crunch. Tim Tebow lesbian.
Tim Tebow lesbian. Bye.
Tim Tebow lesbian.
Tim Tebow lesbian. Bye.
Okay, crunch, crunch. Tim Tebow lesbian.
Okay, I want to move back to relationships and talk about Tim Tebow's new girlfriend.
God, I don't even like fucking... Is Tim Tebow the football player who's like religious?
He's religious. He's like, I'm a virgin. That's kind of his thing. It's.
But is I he feel even like any, popular any sort anymore?
Of, any sort of famous person who calls themselves a lesbian. I mean, not a lesbian, a virgin. What the fuck? Any sort of famous person who calls themselves a virgin will just always, like, that's always going to be their number one identifier.
Any famous person who calls himself a lesbian.
I meant virgin. So he's a virgin.
Okay, we get it. And also, like, but is he, like, a good football player still? Because there was a while where he was a good enough football player where people cared about him on many levels.
Are you asking me that as a joke? When have we ever gotten a sports question correct?
Okay, Anyways, Tim Tebow is dating Miss Universe. Is she still Miss Universe?
She was Miss Universe, I think, last year. She was Miss Universe 2017.
Okay, fine.
But there's not much to say about her other than her name is... Both of her names are hyphenated, which I love. Her name is Demi Lee Nell Peters. She's South African. She won Miss Universe in 2017. And she seems cool as hell. So first of all, I was like, ugh, who cares about Tim Tebow? But then I Googled her, and she's kind of awesome. And the main reason is... During the Miss Universe pageant, fans may recall, that the former beauty pageant contestant expressed her hopes to teach self-defense workshops to women after she was carjacked. So then you go to like the Miss Universe website, and yeah, she was carjacked a few years ago, held at gunpoint, and then she made it her life's work to teach women how to defend themselves. She punched the guy in the face and then like ran away.
So
like,
she's
Sandra Bullock.
She's
Miss
Sandra Bullock
in
Miss Congeniality, yes. When she's like, solar plex.
Limit. Groin. It's like solar plex, insteps, something, groin.
Now, if all else fails, go for the four sensitive areas of the body. But just remember to sing. S-I-N-G. Solar plexus, instep, nose, groin. Sing.
And also, the other thing I love about her is she was on the cover of Cosmo, apparently.
Oh, looking like no one. Looking like
no one. But the best part is the headline on the cover is the untold story of Demi Lee. And it's like every story is untold because I don't know any stories about her. So like to tell me that there's an untold story is truly rude.
It's just funny because imagine I know so little about her that every single surrounding headline could conceivably be around her.
You've got shower sex
and then you've got six steps to a debt-free you. Like, that's the face of someone who's debt-free, right? Am I right? And then it says the future is female, 19 under 19. She could be 18. I don't know. Gen Z beauty. I don't know.
So this is June of 2018, that which is literally last month, and there's an untold story of Demi Lee. I don't know what the untold story is. I didn't read it.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Who Weekly is brought to you by Squarespace. As usual, we love Squarespace.
We love Squarespace.
It's the only way we will ever have a website.
Is Squarespace. You're right. Because it's easy. Because I can update it very fast when things go crazy with tour announcing, which we might have to do relatively soon.
Might? Might?
You said, we just came and saw you. I said, well, this is a 365 podcast. We're planning ahead.
Everyone's doing live shows these days. So all the venues are getting booked up. So we have to book our tour, which is far away, pretty soon. But we already know the dates. We're ready to update the website on Squarespace.
And we also already know how to put them on the website, which is like half the battle because it's Squarespace.
Exactly.
And we've done this for a long time and it's very, very easy.
We love Squarespace because it's very easy to update things. We love Squarespace because we have a contact form, which is the way most people get in touch with us. Even though we have a very easy to remember email address, which is whatsritaupto@gmail.com, people would prefer to just use the contact form on Squarespace because Squarespace is easy. And on our website, it's easy to find our press clippings. It's easy to find embeds of the podcast. It's easy to find anything you need to know about our podcast. So go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch your website, go to squarespace.com/who to save 10% on your first purchase of a website or domain.
Chocolate is salad, bye.
Chocolate is salad.
Chocolate is salad, bye.
Chocolate is salad, bye.
Chocolate is salad.
Hey, Bobby and Lindsay. I'm sure this is the 100th call about this because Canada is like the thirstiest food country in the English-speaking world. But I just wanted to say, while you're right about Kevin O'Leary's Who ranking on Shark Tank, in Canada, he's a pretty massive them. He made his fortune in shareware in the 90s, which you might remember as the hooiest PC games. But since then, he's been a kind of terrible, like, financial / Bill O'Reilly type on Canadian TV. So we all kind of know him as the guy whose articles your lame cousin shares on Facebook. So, yeah, we can't get rid of him. He's also on the Canadian version of Shark Tank called Dragon's Den. It's the worst. Please take him off our hands. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Interesting.
Here's the thing, too. Last week after we failed to discuss him like 1,000 weeks ago, and then we talked about him again last week. And then I Googled him and realized we didn't mention like one of the most interesting things about him. He's like a Trump supporter. Did you see this?
Yeah, I just saw that, 10 minutes ago.
He's a total Trump supporter, and his whole thing, which is extremely boring at this point, is like, Trump is a businessman. I'm like, we need business. I love business. Like, it's very self-serving, the reasoning, because he's like, stocks and bonds and stocks and business. Trump, businessman, Trump. It's so boring.
You need to run a country like you run a business, and because countries are businesses, but they're big. It's like, it reminds me of that fucking, you know what I'm going to say, don't you?
No, what?
Calling a country a business. Countries need to be run like businesses, and businesses reminds me of my favorite saying of all time, which is chocolate comes from a cocoa bean. Chocolate comes from a cocoa bean, and a bean is a vegetable, and a vegetable is a salad. So when I eat chocolate, I'm eating salad. I love salad.
Excuse you. The story behind that phrase, and I think you should actually look it up and say it correctly, because the way that it's phrased is so good, is that one time outside Nashville?
We were in Nashville, yeah.
We
were driving between Nashville and
Dollywood.
And Pigeon Forge. So we were somewhere between those things.
Bobby and I stopped at a Cracker Barrel with our friends, and we were just like looking at their awful gift shop, which is actually kind of the best part of Cracker Barrel, for not kidding ourselves. And I found this sign, like, you know, all those signs that have like sayings on them, and they're all like, my drug of choice is coffee, but there was one sign that I thought was like unique to the Cracker Barrel, but turns out is a very popular kind of like saying.
There are a lot of variations of the saying, but it's good.
Wait,
the saying is, the most popular one is, chocolate comes from cocoa, which is a tree. That makes it a plant. Chocolate is salad.
It's so funny.
It's like, what?
It's so many words. So on a sign also, it's like so long. Because you're just like, get to the point. Like, what? Chocolate is salad. I also love it.
So anyway, it's a stretch, but that reminds me of Kevin O'Leary saying, like,
no, it's good.
Trump is a businessman, and we need to run a business and we run a country. Trump should be president. Chocolate is salad. I also love the self-loathing. I love the self-loathing Canadians' admission that Canada is the thirstiest who country.
So thirsty. It's not your fault. You just speak English, so you are thirsty.
Although maybe I take back self-loathing Canadian. Maybe he loves being Canadian. He just recognizes that Canada's thirsty.
I mean, honestly, with the mess that's happening right now in America, being Canadian sounds like a bargain. Like, there, it sounds fantastic. I would totally be down. I mean, imagine how easily you could keep track of your who's and them's there. There's, everyone's a who, and like, there's, and then Celine Dion, right? And then Drake.
Everyone's a who, and then Celine Dion, and then Justin, whatever his name is, Trudeau. He's the other them.
Justin Trudeau, Drake, and Celine Dion, and everyone else is a who. Just kidding. There are so many famous Canadian people right now. It's actually kind of weird. Like, everyone's from Toronto.
Whoa, weird. That's weird.
Live in La Vida laptop.
Anyway, live in La Vida laptop.
Live in La Vida laptop.
Live in La Vida laptop.
Thank you, guys. Living La Vida laptop. Keep up the good work.
Okay, so this is an extremely good article that we probably need to read in full, because you need the full experience of reading the article.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to read the...
Do you want me to start?
Yeah, you start.
Okay. Let me read the slug. Okay. So it's dailymail.co.uk/tvshowbiz/articles/ Amal-Clooney-Nearly-Takes-Tumble-Uneven-Cobblestone-Street.html. The headline is, Amal Clooney nearly takes a tumble on an uneven cobblestone street in New York City, .. 4 years after her sister Tala's Big Apple spill.
So what I'm guessing, and I've read this before, but what I would guess if I first read this, it was like, Amal Clooney nearly fell on an uneven cobblestone 4 years after her sister also fell on cobblestone in the same city. Okay, yes, fine. I'm here for this.
Right.
Let's keep reading.
Just tell me when to stop. Okay. Amal Clooney nearly took a spill similar to her sister Tala on a cobblestone street in New York City on Wednesday night. While Clooney, 41, didn't actually take a spill like Tala, 47, in New York City back in May 2015, but she seemingly came close.
What the fuck?
Also, this is actually worse grammar than usual.
This is like Noah Centineo up here writing the his but, first article.
The but doesn't need to be there. It should just be while Clooney but d- didn't you actually, didn't she to, seemingly
you
came
didn't
close.
Need to okay. write in New York City back in May 2015 no, there.
We didn't need to write any of this. Okay. Okay. I'll do one more paragraph okay. and then here we go. Both Amal's near fall and Tala's spill took place on similar cobblestone streets in the Big Apple, more than 4 years apart.
Okay. Okay. And then there's a photo. So every single photo in this story is a picture of a woman almost falling down. So here we have...
But not falling down.
Here we have a photo of Amal Clooney in a red dress on a cobblestone street, and she is like taking a little trip. Like her heel...
Her left foot is
getting
sort of like
caught in a cobblestone. But she's like, you can't tell what's going to happen. It's like, what's going to happen? Even though we know that she didn't actually fall down, it's still unclear. And the caption is, near spill, colon, Amal Clooney nearly took a spill similar to her sister Tala on a cobblestone street in New York City on Wednesday night. Then we have a photo, which I assume is Tala. And Tala has fallen already. And she's looking at the camera like, no, as she's about to get in the car. She's on her knee. And this caption is, old spill, colon, while Clooney, 41, take a spill like Tala, 47, in New York City back in May 2015, but she seemingly came close. Okay.
So, God, you don't need the butt. The butt doesn't need to be there.
So,
it's driving me crazy.
As we know so far, Amal Clooney did not take a spill. Tala, whose last name we don't know, but who is her sister.
It's Alamudin, I think.
It is, but like, it's wild. Yeah. They don't use her last. They're just like, Tala, her sister. She did take a
She's
spill.
She's totally Tala.
Okay, so back to the text, the article text.
Okay, so let's go. These photos. Okay, okay. Next, we're going to go to the text. Clooney was wearing a full red dress that fell to below her knees with gray stiletto pumps as she hit the cobblestone street. She and then from the producers of Fleabag, back to life, stream all episodes now, Showtime. Okay.
Get rid of the ad.
She was carrying a large brown bag while she slipped on her heel as it popped out on the street. And then we have, Clooney didn't actually fall. We're just repeating ourselves so many times. Didn't actually fall. Though her sister Tala did tumble to her knees in her cobblestone fall
this breaks
4 years ago.
Every rule of journalism. We do not know who, we barely know who Tala is. We've repeated the same thing 12 times. Okay, another photo of Amal Clooney on the cobblestones. This time,
probably half a second after the last
photo
was taken.
Her shoe has fully come off. Like her
but she
heel,
hasn't fallen.
But she's still upright. And it says, Amal, colon, Clooney was wearing a full red dress that fell below the knees with gray stiletto pumps as she hit the cobblestone street. That's taken directly from the text. Then we have another photo of Tala. She's on the ground. She's on her knees. It says, Tala's fall, colon. Clooney didn't actually fall, though her sister Tala did tumble to her knees in the cobblestone fall 4 years ago. Okay, back to the text. Okay.
Amal wasn't seen with her husband, George Clooney, with the couple celebrating their fifth wedding anniversary in April.
What?
Amal and Clooney met through a mutual friend in June 2013, and they were engaged in April 2014. The couple obtained marriage licenses in August 2014 in London and married in a high-profile ceremony in Venice, Italy in September 2014.
Okay.
Then there's,
there's an embedded video of George and Amal Clooney at, like, the Catch-22 premiere. Then there's another photo... A different, what's amazing is that there's the same text, but somehow the photos are all different. So there's a new photo of seconds later. Her foot is fully out of the shoe. She's like about to trip.
But she's catching herself.
She's going to catch herself. This is still Amal. And it says, anniversary. Don't forget, we were just talking about the anniversary. Anniversary, colon. Amal wasn't seen with her husband, George Clooney, with the couple celebrating their fifth anniversary in April. Which is like, what? Like, she wasn't, okay. He wasn't there, even though they celebrated their anniversary in Mm-mm. April. Okay, great. Keep Mm-mm. going.
Clooney is a lawyer who specializes in international law and human rights, who has previously represented WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. Earlier this year, Clooney was instrumental in securing the release of Reuters journalists Hua Lone and Kai So Woo from Myanmar in May. She was also named the special envoy on media freedom by the British Foreign and Commonwealth Office.
Oh, incredible.
Then there's an embedded video of Amal Clooney spotted in a $3,700 Burberry outfit for NYC meetings. And then
another photo. Okay. This one seems...
Ankle still turned.
But this one seems to be her shoe is either has been put back on, or this was before the other photos. We're still only photos of
them. I think
we're
slightly ahead on the cobblestones. I think the timeline of the cobblestones suggests that she's moved a little ahead.
Oh, so she put the shoe back on?
She just shoved it back in her foot.
Okay, so she's got the shoe back on. She's like, whoops, almost fell there. I'm going to keep going. And then the caption says, lawyer, colon. Clooney is a lawyer. Okay, so then it repeats her job, okay? And then my favorite part of the Daily Mail articles, it says female fashion finder. And it has the dress that Amal is wearing as she's falling. The dress costs $1,400. It's Burberry.
It's a gorgeous dress.
The wild thing is they use a photo of her falling again. As if there's no photos of her not falling that exist in this world. They reuse one of the falling photos and it says, you know, this Burberry dress. This is somehow written better than the entire article. The dress featured.
Well, this is the ad team.
Right. So the ad team.
They've got more oversight. Yeah.
The ad team writes a beautiful dress. You can go buy this dress.
Okay, let's scroll down. Scroll down. Clooney's sister Tala made headlines earlier this month when she was arrested for drunk driving in Singapore.
That's how long it took for them to tell us that Tala, literally still don't know her last name or anything about her ever. She was arrested for drunk driving earlier this month, which you think would be more relevant than Clooney's job or literally anything else.
Mm-hmm. She pleaded guilty on Monday to drunk driving and using a car without a Singapore Class 3 driving license and driving without insurance. So like everything possible, everything get arrested for driving, she got it all.
Yeah.
Tala, who was a permanent resident of Singapore. Oh, she's a permanent resident. She doesn't have a Singapore Class 3 driving license. Tala, who was a permanent resident of Singapore, has been ordered to pay a fine of 6,400 Singapore dollars, which is 3,600 pounds, still doesn't help me, and will be disqualified from driving for 4 years after her release from prison. Wait, I don't think she's going to prison. I'm sorry.
I know.
This is making a lot
There's
of assumptions.
No information about whether she's going to prison except how much
and
money
also,
she might have to pay. Yeah.
And also, excuse me, she will be disqualified from driving? That didn't stop her in the past. We're going to see Tala behind the wheel in
clearly.
No time.
So then we get a picture, finally, of Tala. And
but it's the moment she fell.
It's literally, this is every woman's worst nightmare. It's the rolling of the ankle photo where you see her take a step. Literally, she's not even walking through cobblestone. She's walking over cobblestone to get into a car. And she takes a step onto the cobblestone and rolls her ankle. You see it rolling. You see the ankle rolling. And then it says, headlines. Clooney's sister Tala made headlines early this month when she was arrested for drunk driving in Singapore. Then we get another photo. She's on the ground. She's fallen. She's like, oh no, the car door is right here if I can only get to it. Spill, colon. She pleaded guilty on Monday to drunk driving using a car without a Singapore Class 3 driving license and driving without insurance. Okay, great.
That's the end.
And that's the end of the article.
Mm-hmm.
That is a work of art.
What a silly story, waste of space, says Amanda from upstate New York.
I personally love that
Still Bill
story.
Commented, well, you clicked on it and read it. You got just what the advertisers wanted. Fair.
Okay, well...
Fair.
Fine. But I thought that story was great, although I still don't know anything about Tala. Like, I only know that she fell 4 years ago. Oh, and she drunk drove.
We did a little work. We found Tala's Instagram. We found out about Tala.
It's not that hard to be like, Tala is an aspiring accessories designer. Like, and her line, Totally Tala, hasn't launched yet or whatever, which is things that I found out. Yeah.
What's weird is that her website hasn't launched. Like, you need a password to get on it. But... Amal wore a Totally Tala clutch to Megan's wedding.
Ooh, really? That's a big deal.
Yeah. That was a Totally Tala clutch.
Totally Tala.
Couldn't find like the e-commerce link, but that was a Totally Tala clutch.
Also,
Tala is like Amal's presumably younger sister.
Older.
Older?
I
really?
I think so.
How old is Tala?
I think she's older than her. She has four kids.
Oh, she's 6 years older.
She has
four
kids. She's 47. She was driving her husband's BMW X5 around 2:30 a.m. on May 13th when the cops stopped her. This is all information that we found with one Google. The Daily Mail's like 12 photos of her falling 4 years ago later. I'm getting none of this information. Do you know that she was previously convicted of drunk driving in 2013?
Oh, yeah.
And she had to give away her license for 2 years. And then she drove again and got arrested again.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible.
She has beauty and brains, as you found on InStyle. She graduated from the American International University in London in 1995.
Number four thing in the list of six things you need to know about Amal Clooney's sister, Tala, is she has beauty and brains. Beauty and brains.
It's great. She has some kids. She has a website. She has an Instagram at Totally Tala.
Totally
Tala. And it's really fun. So if you click you see this thing? I think I put it here.
Don't click.
Where it
click.
Says don't click.
Do you want me to click it?
So I found, click the first one.
Okay.
Okay. And then read the caption. Describe the photo and then read the caption.
It's like a not very good photo of like what looks like an Italian countryside. But it's like looks like she could have gotten
it's
that.
It's Lake Como. What is the caption?
Live in La Vida Como.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Cool.
Sun, Italian flag, hashtag floating away, hashtag rock the boat, hashtag.
We know that
Amal
and George
hashtag...
love Lake Como, so she's probably visiting them.
Is that what you got from that? Okay.
No. Okay. I now close that tab.
Then click this.
Click this one, yeah. Okay. And then describe the photo and then read the caption.
It's an Italian scene and she's got a laptop on a table. Like she's like working. It says, it says, live in La Vida laptop. Don't I know it? Live in La Vida laptop. But then the hashtags are Tuscan Tech, Desk with a View, Tala Snaps, Rose Rocks, or Rose Rocks? Rose Rocks.
Rose Rocks,
Tala
yeah.
Travels,
she drinks.
Italy, Firenze Frenzy, Totally Tuscany, Riveting Rooftops, Totally Breathtaking, Tala, Totally Tala, Get Inspired, Rise Rock Repeat.
Firenze Frenzy is really good.
She's good at hashtags. She's good at hashtags. Anyways.
She loves putting like inspirational things on her Instagram.
Yes.
Which I love.
The only thing that Tala is bad at is driving. So I would say she should continue with all of these things that she's doing. She seems great at them. She loves these accessories.
And walking on cobblestones.
And
she hasn't quite mastered the art of walking on cobblestones or driving.
So maybe she's just not good at transportation. She needs to get better.
She just needs to stay on a laptop.
Totally tech. Totally. Living La Vida laptop.
Living La Vida laptop is my favorite thing.
I mean, she was, before she was even arrested for drunk driving the first time, she was convicted of careless driving 4 years earlier than even that. And then 4 years even than early, basically this woman should not be in a car. Get this woman out from behind the wheel.
George Clooney's wife, Amal, is working in D.C., but as we know George, ever the gentleman, he took Amal's parents and her sister out in New York to celebrate a really special occasion.
Tala.
Happy birthday, Tala Alamuddin. Amal's younger sister kicked off her big night with the ultimate party starter, brother-in-law George. Mom Berea and father Ramsey also were seen arriving at New York's Il Buco restaurant. Tala's definitely edgier than Amal, rocking those skull earrings and those $800 Jimba platform suede glitter heels. Earlier this week, the mother of four worked this killer fringe leather mini and jacket paired with this Moschino milkshake bag. Then there was this white asymmetrical wrap dress worn with knee-high snakeskin leather boots. Her flair for upstaging and unique style has some calling her the new Pippa Middleton.
So Amal's sister Tala, really, it's her moment in the sun right now. She had her big birthday party last night. I was walking out, got this like pink dress on, looking hot, and then just eats it.
Oh my God.
Completely eats it. Her ankle rolls over, falls down in front of the cameras, and looks horrified.
Hey, Lindsay and Bobby, long time, third time. I'm sure you're fielding a lot of questions about the 4th of July, but in the rest of the world, what's been happening is the World Cup. Now, I'm not going to ask you to discuss soccer, obviously, especially since all the thems of this tournament are already out and were kicked out of the tournament pretty quickly, but there's this very hooey thing called the official theme song for the World Cup. Now, you may recall, like, Shakira's Waka Waka song from a few years ago. This year, it's somebody called Nicki Jam. The song is called Live It Up, and it's featuring Will Smith and some other guy. So I'm just wondering, how did Will Smith get wrapped up in this? Is he a big soccer guy? Who's Nicki Jam? Who's this other guy? Good form, bad form.
So the song is called Live It Up.
It sounds like Eurovision.
It sounds like Eurovision, which is what the song should sound like. And honestly, the World Cup song always sounds like a version of like, we're in it together. Ole, ole. Like,
the
clap
last
your hands.
One, yeah, that's what the last one was. It was really good.
The best World Cup song of all time is the Ricky Martin one, right? There's no competition.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
The Cup of Life? Wasn't that the World Cup song? The Cup of Life. This is... Wasn't that the World Cup song?
I don't
song?
Know. I really just remember Ole, Ole, Ole.
And wait, come on.
I don't know.
Ricky Martin, Cup of Life, World Cup.
Oh, La La La. I remember
the
that.
The Cup of Life was...
Oh, La Copa de la Vida?
The World... Yes, was the World Cup song in 1998, and I think it is the best one.
I don't remember it. I'll play it here. I'll play it
here. The Cup of Life. This is the one... You know it!
Hold on. Let me just click play.
Ole, ole, ole. It's so good. How do you not know this song?
Oh, this! This was a World Cup song?
You're trolling me. Of course it was. It's called The Cup of Life. I had to check.
Are you kidding me? That was a World Cup song? I yes, never it's... realized that.
Like, could it be any more perfect to be the World Cup song? They were like, Ricky Martin, write a World Cup song. He's like, I got it.
Wait, why don't they just use this for every World Cup? This is the one.
That's what I'm saying. This is the one.
This is the song.
The Cup of Life. I only know.
Okay, but you're saying the part that isn't even the most iconic. Here we go, ole, 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 ole is the iconic part. Had you said I would have been like, oh, okay. I did not know it was World Cup. I have not been watching the World Cup. I do find it fun, but I also find it, like, tough to just, like, turn on a sport. Like, there's a part of me... Like, I when I watch it, when I'm in a place, I'm in a public place, and it's on, I think, oh, this is fun. I love, like, everyone coming together and watching this thing.
But then you want to, you don't want to watch it.
Right. It's a sport that doesn't give you CTE. Right. I completely support that.
That's
but then I'm
why
not
we
gonna,
love Eurovision.
I'm never going to sit on my couch and then, like, turn on a sport. There's just something... It's impossible for me at this point.
This caller didn't ask if you watched the World Cup. The caller asked about the song. It's called Live It Up. It's by Nicki Jam featuring Will Smith and Era Istrefi. Sorry if I pronounced that wrong. Who is from Kosovo. People are kind of mad about this song because no one in this song is from any of the countries that are represented in the World Cup, which doesn't really matter.
Yeah, well, it's Will Smith and Nicki Jam. They're both American, although, I mean, Nicki Jam is, his parents are like Dominican and Puerto Rican, but he's American. Like you said, she's from Kosovo. Will Smith, American. Is America not in the World Cup? Do they not play? I don't know how that works.
Don't ask me questions about sports.
I don't know.
But no. So it's weird because the concept of the song is like, you only live once, so live it up, which is like fine, but that's really not like the point of the World Cup. I feel like you really have to try and match the sentiment of the World Cup, and this doesn't really, I guess, I don't know, it's like, the lyrics are like, one life, one dream, one moment, one team, one you, lights high, thousand roadblocks, one shot. Oh, that's the rap. One life, live it up, cause you got one life. One life, live it up, cause you got one life.
Like, there's not just one World Cup and then we're done. There's one every couple years.
They're putting in words that make sense. The concept of the song is not strong. I guess you're comparing it to Shakira's Waka Waka that makes it, you know, that was a nonsense song.
Ricky Martin is the correct sentiment, which is, here we go.
This is the one.
Go, go, go.
Waka Waka is like kind of a good song, though. This time for Africa. Samina, mina, eh, eh, waka, waka.
We didn't really say why it sounds so weird. I would argue that it doesn't sound weird. It sounds like any other World Cup song.
It doesn't sound weird. It sounds fine. And like the three performers are like from different places. I think the idea is like coming together and like, and having a song that's like bilingual and like, I don't know. It's I don't think it's that bad.
Yeah,
whatever.
I don't think it's bad. I think it's fine. I was like, I kind of like this. If I had heard that in Portugal, I would have rooted for it. I would have
stayed. The Cup of Life. That's
God, stop saying The Cup of Life. That's not the part to remember. The Cup of Life. But before I do that, I also just wanted to play this for fun.
On the flesh, no, I don't hear this. Bobby woke up with that song stuck in his head. Do you guys know what that song is?
I woke up with the Monica Brandi classic, It All Belongs to Me from 2012, their sequel to The Boy Is Mine. It was stuck in my head today and I can't get it out. But my favorite line is when they just go, that MacBook.
It's also wild that like that would be one of your, I mean it is, but like that's one of your most like prized like valuable possessions, like just for a normal person.
It's like the most expensive thing I own, my MacBook.
It's like, what is it? Like those cars, those whatever.
Those clothes,
like,
those cars, those rings.
And my MacBook. Bobby's like, don't touch my MacBook.
Also, it's like there's a line about how like you got to log out of your Facebook on my computer. So it's like he had his own MacBook, but then he was using her MacBook. Well, they had two MacBooks. So I think maybe he was using her. Wait, was he using her MacBook or did he have a MacBook that she bought him? You know what? It's her MacBook. That's what it is. He didn't have his own MacBook.
Okay. That is one of the reasons why this song was like a huge flop and no one cared, because nobody wanted to hear a song about a MacBook. And that MacBook turns out.
Especially in 2012. Maybe in like 2001, we wanted a song about a MacBook, you know?
Well, because it felt like the future. Yeah, now it just feels like the MacBook. Dull present.
Wow, Lindsay, you did such a great job. And so did Timmy.
You did too. You did too.
Oh yeah, me. I did less than
you.
I did more than the next one.
But these segments, you did them. These were all you.
Oh yeah.
So you did do them.
Yeah, they are all us.
Yeah.
They are all us.
Yeah. Yeah.
So thank you for listening to this episode. Thank you to Katie and Eric of the Who's for providing our Rita theme song on most Tuesdays. Thank you to Timmy, our research and editorial assistant, for researching and editorializing and assisting so much with these compilation episodes. Keep calling in at 619-WHO-THEM to leave questions, comments, and concerns for our Friday show, which is going to be normal. So call in, leave questions, comments about everything else that's happened this week, and we'll see you then. Support us on patreon.com/WHOweekly for bonus episodes of Discord server and a whole lot more. Rate and reviews on Apple Podcasts. Let's actually end this. Bye.
Bye.
To be famous.
The cup of life. This is the one. You know it.